All right. Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day in Littleton, Colorado. January 8th, 2023. Time keeps moving forward.
Slipping.
That's that old song, yeah. I was thinking of the same thing. So today I'm going to teach on why is it a big deal about who Jesus Christ is and are the dead alive. And actually, I realized, just saw this in the Word, that it's really two sides of the same coin. It's two things. Those are two big lies that the devil pushes. He tries to push that Jesus is not a man, he was God, and then he tries to also push that the dead are alive. And those are two big things. Basically, if the dead were alive and if Jesus was God, then you know the Bible just falls apart. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. And he, talking about Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, or he might be the prominent one. Now it says he's the firstborn from the dead. Until Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, what that means is nobody else had ever got up from the dead before then.
To stay alive.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, there was people that were raised like Lazarus and like Jonah in the Old Testament, I believe, and other things. And like it was quite a few instances throughout the Bible. But all those people that were raised from the dead, they later died and are now still sleeping. So if the dead are alive, Jesus Christ could not be the firstborn of the dead. It's just, it logically makes no sense. And it really goes back to the old lie from Genesis when Satan said to Eve, you know, thou shalt not surely die. You won't die. You'll be just like God. You're going to know this good and evil. Right now, all you know is good. You need to know this evil stuff. This evil's really cool, Eve. You know, you want to check this out. Well, she found out what evil is, and she, you know, evil is death and destruction. It's not so cool. I remember when one of our kids was little and they wanted to have these skull decorations, a sweatshirt with skulls on it. And they thought, oh, but evil's so cool because the other kids at school had the skulls and it's all cool. So I said, well, you know, the skull represents death. You know, did you think it was really cool when your little hamster died? Or did that upset you and bother you? And then she realized, well, yeah, of course it bothered me. And, you know, well, the skull represents death, and death and evil aren't really cool. And, you know, I kind of made an impression on her life, and that was kind of cool.
No skulls.
No skulls. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Also, back there in where I was, it said that Jesus Christ was the head. And people think, well, Jesus Christ is the head, so we're just, we're the arm or the shoulder, or hopefully we're not the armpit. I'd hate to be that part of the body, but I'm sorry. Bad joke. But it's an analogy. But anyway, the head. When they wrote the Bible, nobody at that time understood that the brain controlled the body. Because, like you read in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if, you know, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, well, the heart doesn't believe. The heart pumps blood. See, they didn't have some of the scientific knowledge we have today about biology back then. And so When Paul wrote that Jesus is the head, he didn't mean that it's the brain that controls the body. And the head, quite often, I was looking it up in my Noah Webster's 1812 dictionary. It's an amazing dictionary because it uses a lot of King James to define the words, and it's from an era that's closer to the King James Bible than our modern dictionaries. I mean, nowadays people can't even define what a woman is. If you look at a modern dictionary, what a woman? Oh, I can't define. Oh, that's only for biologists. We can't figure what that is. You know, it's like Diane was telling me, she was looking on LinkedIn, and some people actually put what their pronouns are on LinkedIn. And I was thinking about, if I put my pronouns on LinkedIn, it'd probably be WTF. No, no, it wouldn't. But anyway, I digress.
And actually, that whole pronoun word thing is a teaching for another day.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But it's just, I mean, it's a cult. It's signposts of a culture gone nuts, and basically, it's a culture that needs God. And so, anyway. Back to what is the head. So the head is like, he's the preeminent one. Remember it said that in that verse? He was the first one to break. He was the first born from the dead. Jesus Christ showed us the way. He's also said, I got a verse coming up here. Actually, it's right here in Corinthians 15. I was going to read, starting in verse 1, but let's jump to verse 45 here. So it is written, verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So Jesus Christ is the second Adam. And the first Adam failed. The first Adam, basically the reason we have so much evil today is the first Adam turned over a lot of the power and authority of this world to Satan. And that's why Satan can do some of the stuff he does, because back in Genesis, he couldn't do that before Adam delivered that power to him. And our second Adam, he was the first one that broke through the barrier, and he was raised from, he was the first one that now was actually got up from the dead. Adam is dead. Eve is dead. Methuselah, he's dead. David, all these guys, great kings in the Old Testament, they're dead, great believers. You know, the 12 apostles, they're all dead. The apostle Paul, he's dead. But the first one to break through that barrier was Jesus Christ. That's why he's the head. He showed the example.
The leader.
It's like, you know, if you're at war and you're somebody's, what was that movie, Sergeant York? That guy he got drafted in World War I, and he went to war, and he didn't want to kill because he was a Christian, and the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and he was wondering how he could deal with that. Well, a better translation, he didn't know that, and a lot of our churches don't know it. Thou shalt not kill is the wrong translation. It says, thou shalt not murder. And so if, like, right now somebody broke into my house and tried to kill me and kill my family, I would use deadly force to defend me and my family. That's a godly thing to do. And war is one country uses deadly force to defend themselves against another country. Although sometimes wars, there's no good side, but that's another teaching for another day. So, he was the last Adam. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, right, same book here. Let's go over verse 15, and we'll start, I think I wanted to start in verse 1.
You mean chapter 15?
Chapter 15. Cool. We'll start in verse 1. Let's skip a couple verses down. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And again, like I keep saying, teaching after teaching, Jesus Christ did the heavy lifting. Diane, you watched that video recently, that movie about the Christians in Iran. Remember?
Yeah.
And
I'm not even going to give the name of it.
Yeah, it's basically there's these people that, and they were basically, they were encouraging each other to be martyrs. And, if you go to certain places in the world and you teach certain things, then you could be killed for saying, you know, that Jesus is the Son of God. God never doesn't want us to suffer for Jesus. God's called us to be ambassadors, and our burden is light. Jesus was the only one that was called to die and rise again so that we could have life. We're called to be alive. Because what kind of ambassador or witness are we if we're dead? I mean, if I die 2 weeks from now, next month, I won't be able to do a teaching. And that cost God something. Hopefully some people like my teachings.
Well, they were being taught, I'll just briefly say what
okay.
they were. They were being taught that if they went to other countries where there was persecution of Christians, that it was okay for them, and they were giving their life to get the word out about Jesus Christ, per se. But Jesus Christ couldn't even be touched until he allowed it. They wanted to kill him even before he was born. And when Christ was on this earth and they tried to stone him or throw him off a ledge or a cliff, he just walked right through them. They couldn't touch him. And we have that same power. So if you're going to go to another country, if God actually calls you to go to another country to teach where they persecute Christians, we don't put up with them killing us. And that's kind of what this movie was sort of teaching, that, oh, look at me, I'm a martyr for Christ, I'm suffering. Well, God hasn't called us to do that. And so I couldn't watch any more of that movie because it was calling Christians to be defeated. And we don't live like that. So that was that particular movie that I won't even recommend or tell you the name of it.
Verse 4. And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. See, he was the first one that got up from the dead. The firstborn. He's the first one that broke through that barrier. Throughout all the history of man, everybody that ever died was dead. And he was seen by Cephas. And Cephas is another name of for Peter. Then of the 12... Then he was seen at one point by more than 500 brethren at once, and the greater part of them remain unto the present day, but some have fallen asleep. So see, even after the resurrection of Jesus, people still fall asleep. There's a time coming when all the dead will be arisen, and they will all be alive, but that day is not here yet. Then he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, talking Paul, one born out of due time. For I am the least of all apostles, and it's not even right that I should be called an apostle. But because I had persecuted the church, it's not, Paul said, I'm not even worthy of being an apostle. But, you know, it's like none of us are worthy, but God makes us worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy to be an ambassador for heaven, an ambassador for Christ, but God makes us worthy. God puts God in Christ in us, and he ordains us to speak. And everybody here, you all have an individual ministry. You may not be ordained, you may not be a pastor, evangelist, teacher, prophet, apostle, but everybody has a ministry. And you are called to reach somebody. I don't know who that is. And there's people you guys can reach that I can't. And there's people that I can reach that you can't. And that's why God's called us. So let's go to Numbers in the Old Testament. One of my favorite scriptures.
What chapter?
23:19. This is that great record of the prophet Balaam. And this guy wasn't even a very good prophet. Half the time he was following the wrong thing. But when he would get on, like he said, verse 26, it's the last part of that verse, It says, all that the Lord speaketh, that much I do. He's basically saying, you know, if God puts word, gives me a prophecy, I have to say it. You know, and sometimes, you know, speaking the word in our culture or any culture, it will upset people. They want to hear something different. They want to hear, oh, it's okay to believe the dead are alive now. No, it's not, because it's spiritualism. Because, you know, if the dead were already alive, then why would God have to send Jesus Christ?
If they were already in heaven, same thing.
Exactly. So, you know, if you can get to heaven without going through Jesus, then why would God have to send Jesus? And if Jesus was God, then his sacrifice is meaningless. You know, it was one of the flock. God sets up rules and laws, and he would, the sacrifice had to be one of the flock, had to be the second Adam. So anyway, 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Here's another translation of that. God is not as man to waver, nor as the son of man to be threatened. See, you can't threaten God. You can't tempt God. You can't beat God. You can't have Roman soldiers beat God to a pulp and nail him to a cross. If that's your God, then you're... What's that... there's those stupid... They make all these movies on comic books now. They got all those Avengers movies. I mean, it's like they can't figure out how to write a script anymore, so they go back to the 1950s and they take old comic books and turn them into movies. But anyway, there's one scene where the Hulk is beating up Loki, and Loki says he's a god, and the Hulk says, "Ah, you're a puny god." Because if our God could be beaten up and nailed to a cross, then we're of all people most miserable. And shall he not say and not perform? Shall he not speak and keep his word? So that's the kind of God we have. 2 Timothy 2:5. This is one we taught last month. But it's a good verse. It keeps coming back. It's like when I was a kid. You know how little boys will fight, you know, and I'm still flipping there to Timothy. Little boys will fight and push each other around and do things to each other that they shouldn't be doing. And so the parents come in the room and they say, "Johnny, did you flush Jimmy's pajamas down the toilet?" And he goes, "No, they kept coming back up." So anyway, this verse keeps coming back.
Oh,
man. Yeah, good thing I don't get paid for my humor, huh? 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is three gods and 100 mediators. No, there's one God.
No.
And one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So, and when it says Christ Jesus, that means he's the resurrected one sitting at the right hand of God. So, even though he's the Son of God, the archangel above all the other angels, he's still considered a man because he was the first one that broke through that barrier. He's the first one that was raised from the dead. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Somebody want to say something?
I'm going to tell Shelley it's 1 Timothy, not 2 Timothy.
Did I say 2nd?
Yeah.
But you did it first, but then you corrected it.
Oh, sorry.
I flipped back to 1 Timothy, so thank you, Sherry.
Sorry about that.
And 1 Corinthians, where are we going?
11.
1 Corinthians 11, we're going to
23. These are verses that quite often we share when we're doing communion.
last verse, Jeff?
11:23. Oh, the last one was 1 Timothy 2:5. I'm keep
no,
saying
present scripture.
Present scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:23.
Oh,
1 Corinthians. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, they went. It's like, you got these books of the Bible, then you got 1 Peter, and then you got Repeater. Anyway. Okay. Verse 23. This is a great section. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ became the Passover lamb. He's the one, in the Old Testament, God instituted temporary Old Testament laws of various forms, and one of them was the Passover. And so they would sacrifice an animal, and for 1 year the animal would cover your sins. And that was in the Old Testament, they were covered. And I remember in the PFAL class, Dr. Werwolf said it was like a garbage can, you put the lid on it. It's still there, it still stinks, but you put the lid on so you don't see it and you don't smell it. Well, in our day and time, he cleansed it. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed that we could be sin-free, and his body was broken that we could be disease-free. So again, like we were talking about, people that have had the vax and they're getting side effects, well, the broken body of Jesus can heal them from any side effect of any big pharma drug or shot. So, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord, the Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, let me move this here so it's easier to read. When he had given thanks, he broke it. So he broke the bread, and the bread symbolized his body. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So we need to remember. The human mind has, it's a blessing and a curse. We have the ability to forget. Those of you that are women that have had a baby in childbirth, going through childbirth could be very painful and traumatic and difficult. But yet, it's amazing, once that baby's there, suddenly people will forget how painful and traumatic it was, and they think, oh my God, there's a whole new life here. Look at this wonderful thing. And see, the human mind can be like, there's a dark side to it. There's that sometimes we forget the stuff, the scriptures that we need to remember. We forget, and we get afraid, like, oh geez, the world's bad. It's going to get us. Something bad's going to... No. God's here. God's our salvation. Jesus Christ, God sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. So, verse 26. As oft as ye eat and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. And then here, when they translated this, they got a little religious and they started... departing from the truth a little bit. It says in King James, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Well, that unworthy is the Greek word anaxios, A-N-A-X-I-O-S. We get the word like axis, or like you got in your car, you have axles. And there's an axle. There's a front axle and there's a rear axle. Or with independent cars, I think they now have 4 axles, but whatever. But they have to be aligned. If your car is not aligned, your tires will wear out. You'll slip in the ice improperly. I remember I had an accident in my car 6 or 7 years ago, and somebody hit the one tire, and the tire got out of alignment. It got whacked out like that, and it would catch on the ice, and it would spin out my back end. And I had to take, it was basically unsafe to drive. So I had to take it to the shop and it had to be repaired. And see, when we're out of, when we are out of alignment with God's word, we're thinking that, you know, that Jesus is God or the dead are alive, or we're thinking that God punishes us or God wants us to be suffer for Jesus or other false doctrines, then we don't get the benefits of communion. So verse 28, let a man examine himself, so let him eat and drink. Well, we examine ourselves when we eat and we drink the communion service. For he that, again, verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the, oh my gosh, we're not only unworthy, we got damnation. Oh! No, again, it's not really, it's what it happens is if we're out of alignment, what it is we condemn ourselves for the stuff, and it's not our fault. We have an adversary. The devil's always, we just watched one of those Terminator movies. I was watching the other night. I was saw it on, and they got all those, and you know, the Terminator, he never stops. He doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't go on holiday. He doesn't, you know, he's got one purpose, and that's to do evil. Steal, kill, and destroy. And so it's not our fault. When we get out of, sometimes we get out of alignment and the devil attacks us. Sometimes even when you're in alignment, the devil attacks you. But God makes a way out. You want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, and the condemnation doesn't come from God. We condemn ourselves.
That's where I was going. Thank you.
We do it to ourselves.
And so the condemnation, the damnation's in our own mind. Not, and see, that's the thing, is people, they don't think we're worthy. And that's why verse 30, for this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or fall or have died. See, we don't judge ourselves according to our flesh. What's it say somewhere in the New Testament? Says, you know, there's no good thing in the flesh. Well, you know, I kind of like having a human body, and I like, you know, enjoying, you know, a meal and sleeping and all that stuff. But basically, our flesh is corrupt because we inherited our flesh from Adam. And our nature is to do, if we have our druthers, quite often we'll do the wrong thing. What's it Paul said?
That which I do, I don't want to do. That which I don't do, I want to do.
Yeah, exactly like that. And even Jesus, when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, the flesh is weak, the spirit is strong. Jesus Christ had the same temptation. If he was God, he couldn't have been tempted with that. Jesus had the same temptations we have. He had the same temptation. The devil said to him, oh, if you're really the Son of God, I mean, he had the temptation to think, well, if the devil kills me and crucifies me, I'm not going to raise from the dead. I'm just going to stay dead. He had to actually believe God's word about himself.
And also the devil said, if you be the Son of God. He never says, if you're God, you can just save yourself.
So let's go to Mark 14. Because, you know, religious, you know, if you go to a church, they'll have these beautiful this beautiful building with these beautiful stained glass windows, and they show Jesus with a big frying pan on his head. You know, he was human like us. He didn't like glow in the dark. He was human like us. He had the same frailties we have. The one advantage he had is his soul life came from God, so he didn't have the sin nature built into him. So he had one advantage we didn't have. But yet Adam had that same advantage, and Adam blew it. So Jesus could have blown it. He could have kicked the ball out of bounds instead of into the goal, if you want to use a soccer analogy. So Mark chapter 14, verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father. You know, and that's like saying Daddy. You know, it's going to God. It's a real term of endearment. All things are possible. unto thee, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not what I will, but what you will. So if he was God, then he had two wills. You know, then how would he...
Bipolar.
You know, he's a multiple personality disorder. So let's go one more verse here. Luke chapter 3. Oops, I'm going the wrong way. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. And now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass, Jesus also was baptized, and praying the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and the voice came from heaven, saying, this is the third part of the Blessed Trinity, co-equal and co-eternal.
No.
It said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, if he was God, how could he have the Spirit come upon him, the other third part of the Trinity come upon him? And then his Father saying, well, you're the third part of me, which I think is pretty cool, you know. It's like one of those, getting back to those stupid Terminator movies. They got that latest one where the Terminator splits into two and then comes back together. And it doesn't make any sense. They just thought...
The church made that, right?
They just thought it would be cool special effects, and you know, and I think that's part of the problem with I think movies nowadays. They got too many special effects, and they don't have any dialogue and any plot. They just special effects.
Let's blow some stuff up.
Let's blow some stuff up. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share today. It's really. You know, the dead being dead and coming alive at the resurrection, that's a big deal to know that, because that's why Jesus Christ had to come here. And that Jesus came as a man, not as a God, that's a big deal too, because then he went through what we went through. And if he was called a lot much more difficult situation than we were. And if he could handle it, what his... He did the heavy lifting. What God's given us, our burden is light. So we can do this. And we don't want to lean unto our own understanding, and we don't want to condemn ourselves and look to our flesh. It's not our flesh that's so strong. It's the Spirit in us that's so strong. So anyway, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we can talk a little bit afterwards. And so, Heavenly Father... thank you for your word. And Father, just behold this strange, bizarre world we live in, and just rescue us from this and help us make our way through it, and help us be good ambassadors, that we can speak your word and we can go and we can help save people that need salvation, and we can lead them to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus can lead them to the one true God, and they can have a relationship with God Almighty, just as if God is their very best friend in the entire world. And we can all have that same relationship, because our God has no limits. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.